Good morning. The first reading today is taken from Jeremiah 33:14-16, and this can be found in the Church Bible on page 796. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I fulfil the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is a name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading, What am I talking about? Our second reading is on page 10, 5, 7. Page 10, 5, 7. Luke chapter 21, verses 25-36. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then Jesus told them this parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So may the words of Helen's lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Over to you, Helen.
Good morning. It's nice to be here. So today's the first day of Advent, and also the first Sunday in Advent, which doesn't happen very often. The word Advent, the Latin word advenio, means the coming. Not he came, but the coming. Not he has arrived, but he is arriving. He's near. He's at the door. He's waiting for us. In our first reading, Jerusalem is finished and the people exiled to Babylon. In these turbulent times, Jeremiah's preaching was full of warnings, laments, and threats of disaster, but they're also proclamations of hope. Today's short passage is one of these. It's a message of encouragement for God's downcast people. The prophet speaks God's promise to them. All might seem lost, but God still is faithful. The house of David might be cut down, but God is able to bring life out of death. A branch will sprout. A new leader will bring honesty and integrity to the land. Already we catch glimpses of the birth story of Jesus, son of David. So then we have the first coming, the coming of Emmanuel, God with us, and he comes in Bethlehem. And this is an historical event, but what makes this so much more important is the longing and the hope that the children of Israel brought down through the centuries, 2,000 years, beginning with Abraham and all the way to when Joseph and Mary went to the village of Bethlehem, the seat of King David of olden days, and there was born the child. Our second reading in Luke 21 begins with fearsome signs of upheaval. Jesus spoke them shortly before his crucifixion. It is the end of the world, when Jesus will come again. There is agony, fear, bewilderment. The world will be shaken. The vivid descriptions highlight the power of Jesus at his return. Verse 32 begins with, "Truly I tell you." It is worth noting that these are Jesus' own words, so these events will happen. I was reminded this week of the scripture passage when Jesus is in a boat on the Sea of Galilee and a storm comes up. Mark 4:35-38 says, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling, but he was in the stern asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?' I was reminded from a commentary that Jesus, the Son of God, proclaims the word of God at the beginning of this passage and says, 'Let us go over to the other side.' The commentary continues that an old preacher once said that perhaps the reason Jesus seemed angry with the disciples at the end of the story, after he had calmed the storm, was because they had forgotten his words at the start. Jesus had said, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Because Jesus had said it, it was going to happen. In the same way, in Luke 21, Jesus promises us, in the midst of the darkness, on the edges of despair, when it seems that all is lost and the world as we know it has been torn asunder, lightning in the skies, fire on the earth, Jesus then says to us, 'On that day, lift up your heads, for your redemption, your healing is at hand.' These events will happen, we can be assured. But the question for us is, how do we live in the meantime? In fact, Luke's overall interest in this chapter is in how Jesus' disciples should live in the interval between now and the end time, which is why I've called this talk Finding Purpose While Waiting. The answer is in verse 34, where Jesus tells us what to do and also what not to do. He says, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing or dissipation, which is overindulgence, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap." We'll take what not to do first. Excuse me. It is easy for us to hear drunkenness and overindulgence being condemned here. But more challenging for us to notice is the warning not to be weighed down by the worries of this life. So we might not get drunk, but instead we do use other coping strategies to deaden our anxious thoughts. For example, it is easy to lose ourselves in social media, or constant news feeds, or television and entertainment, or shopping, or work, or just general busyness, particularly at this time of year. It does not take us long to see the worries all around us, and we find our ways of dealing with them. We realise the comfort we receive is temporary, and sadly, our spiritual senses have been deadened at the same time, and we move a little bit further away from God. We're all too familiar with Philippians 4:6-7, which says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." What an amazing promise. And we know this. And yet prayer and petition with thanksgiving is not our primary go-to action. Jesus tells us in Luke 21 to be careful to look after our hearts, and Philippians 4 tells us how to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus if we want to have peace. But how do we make this a lifestyle and not just an afterthought? A few years ago, when Wendy Pagden was our curate, she recommended an Advent book, The Meaning is in the Waiting. The book was designed to enable us to grow more fully into a way of being that is governed more by expectancy than by urgency, more focused on Jesus' presence today than on some imagined future. It explained that changing the focus of our restless, busy lives takes time, and for most of us will be a lifetime's work. But we venture on this journey in companionship with the God who waits with us. However, the question for us is, what does this active waiting look like? I was reminded this week of the all-familiar story of Martha and Mary. It's in Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Now, we often hear many commentaries on this passage, but Peter Scazzaro, in his book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, I can recommend this is a 40-day devotional, has written one that I find most helpful for this season of Advent. Mary and Martha, he says, represent two approaches to the Christian life. Martha is actively serving Jesus, but she is also missing Jesus. She is busy in the doing of life. Her life is pressured and filled with distractions. Her duties have become disconnected from her love for Jesus. Martha's problem, however, go beyond her busyness. I suspect that if Martha were to sit at the feet of Jesus, she would still be distracted by everything on her mind. Her inner person is touchy, irritable, and anxious. Mary, on the other hand, is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. She is being with Jesus, enjoying intimacy with him, loving him, and taking pleasure in his presence. Her life has one centre of gravity, Jesus. I suspect that if Mary were to help with the many household chores, she would not be worried or upset. Why? Her inner person has slowed down enough to focus on Jesus and to centre her life on him. Our goal, Peter Scazzaro says, is to love God with our whole being, to be consistently conscious of God through our daily life, whether we are stopped like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus or active like Martha taking care of the cares of life. The Bible shows us many promises that are to our great benefit from consistently being conscious of the presence of God through our daily life. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." That is a promise. Psalm 62:5 says, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts for him, for God is our refuge." Another promise. And another truth that Jesus tells us in Luke 21:33 is, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." So we additionally have the blessing of meditating on the word of God always. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Another promise. This first Sunday of Advent sets the tone for the season by looking forward to the second coming of Jesus. There will be many scripture passages read during this coming season, and the spiritual practices of lighting the wreath candle, as we've done this morning. We are called to reorient ourselves into a mindset of watching and waiting for Jesus' return, while at the same time evaluating our lives on the basis of Jesus' first coming. But as we spend time in the presence of Jesus, then, through us, the world can see the whole of who God is. Whenever we act in the name of Jesus to bring the presence of God into our homes, neighbourhoods, and our city. In the midst of it all, we trust that God has promised to be with us, and that we are in God's hands beyond it all. We are called to speak a word of hope and promise in a world often filled with fear and uncertainty, even despair. Especially in this season of Advent, we speak words of hope in the midst of darkness. Light is about to break in the midst of despair, hope erupts. The complete fulfillment of God's promise has not yet happened, but it is coming. Such is Advent faith and Advent hope. So let's pray. Help us, Lord Jesus, as Psalm 37, verse 7 says, to be still and wait patiently for you. We offer to you each of our anxieties and concerns this day. Teach us to be prayerfully attentive and to rest in you as we enter this Advent season and all the many activities. Help us to be active from that place of rest in you, Jesus, and to bring your presence into our homes and neighbourhoods and speak your words of hope to those who are hurting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Right. Yeah, listening to that, I think we celebrate Jesus coming. He has come, will come. But when we come to Jesus, his invitation, he's here, he's with you always. But we will come to him. Acknowledge him in all your ways. He'll make your path straight. So just take a moment just to determine this Christmas season to make room for him, to come to him afresh, to spend some time in his word, prayerfully seeking him. He's the reason for the season. Lord, we thank you for your love that reaches out to us. We now reach out to you to receive that love afresh. We thank you for your promises in Scripture which will never fail. We are indeed children of a promise, of many promises. But the most important promise is the promise of Jesus today, yesterday and forever. Thank you for your promise. Help us to stand on those promises and Jesus this day and forevermore. Amen. Let's stand to sing.